and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess. And welcome to episode 218, I don't know what I'm calling it. Why do I always start these things and not know? I could call it the Home for the Holidays episode. Let's do that. I will be home for this particular upcoming American holiday, aka Thanksgiving. And Jack will be home. Yay. The man is going to pick him up Tuesday and bring him back home. So we're very excited about that. I have my suspicions we will not see a ton of Jack while he's home, although I'm sure we'll see him at Thanksgiving dinner. I ran into a friend of his at church yesterday, and this friend is already home for the holidays. And I said, Reed, oh, Jack's going to be home on Tuesday. And Reed said, oh, I know, we've already organized our get-together. There's going to be a party at so-and-so's house. And I realized, of course, these kids, they're still all connected. The class of 2017 is still all connected via the interwebs. And they've got, message groups going. I don't know how they do it. I don't know if it's a Facebook thing. I feel like their generation is a little less Facebooky, but some way or another, they get together online and message back and forth. And so, I think they may have a week of social activities already planned, and that's going to be so fun. I'm really happy for Jack, and that I actually realize this now. I didn't have that experience at Thanksgiving ever while I was in college, because I never went home for Thanksgiving, I don't think, because my parents lived in Texas and I was in college at Wake Forest in North Carolina. But I do recall going home at Christmas and getting together with all my high school buddies and hanging out over the holidays. And that was really fun. So I bet Jack is looking forward to that. And I am looking forward to seeing him during the time that he is actually here at the house. So I wanted to say thank you to everyone who's commented on the last couple of episodes. I've gotten some great comments. I appreciate it. The comments all went into the bowl for big drawing for Krista Watson's new book about quilting with pre-cuts. And the winner is Colleen. So yay, Colleen. And in Colleen's comments, she mentioned This Is Us. I hope you're keeping up with that. She said, and I totally agree. She said, I'm watching This Is Us. I love it. It was better last season, but it's still very good. It doesn't make me cry every episode this season. And I'm thinking that's true. I think there may have been at least one episode so far in season two of This Is Us that I haven't cried, but I cried during the last one. It's really just it's an emotionally wrenching show. And the other thing that Colleen said in her comment, which I really appreciated, was that she cannot sew an accurate half-square triangle either. And she has taken courses on precision piecing, but to no avail. So that makes me feel better. I always have to remind myself, it's really good to aim for mastery of these skills. I don't want to just say, hey, it doesn't even matter. But to some extent, unless your mistakes are totally egregious, it all comes out okay. I mean, I am not making quilts for, hoping to be best at show in Houston or anything, right? In fact, that whole idea terrifies me. I may have said this before at some point, but I have this feeling like with QuiltCon and the Modern Quilt Guild, maybe it's because so many of the people, it seems to me at least, who are modern quilters, so many of the quilters are newish quilters like me, people who maybe have been quilting for 10 years. Jackie Garing has been quilting like 6 years. It's crazy. But anyway, so there is maybe not quite that quest for perfection, and I'm sure that the judges look for competency in quilting, and even better than that, and look for some mastery in technique. But I just feel like it's possible that QuiltCon as a competition may be somewhat more forgiving. I can't imagine anyone with any sort of expertise in quilt technique, say, people who are judging at Houston or any AQS show, would look at my quilts and do anything but sort of shake their heads sadly. Like, oh man, this thing is not going to hold together for two laundry-ines, which is not true, really, but still. So, yes, I think unless we are going for the big show, and there are people who do that, and I think it's fascinating. It's just another subculture of quilting, like the show quilters, people who do their annual big show quilt. And, you know, and win. I think that's super cool. That is not me. Although I am trying to have some quilts ready for QuiltCon. I do have two quilts ready to submit and talk about working on Sweep Exit, which I am in the process of quilting, having a great time. But I do talk about that in the Quilt Diaries. So I will not talk about that right now. I do want to say to Tammy, in case you didn't get my reply to your comment, she wanted to know with the design boards how I attach the flannel to the design board, and I will say that I attached it with one of those very scary staplers that I always want to call a power stapler, but it's actually a staple gun. They frighten me badly, but I use them. Let me do a very big, very fast kind of thanks to everyone who commented, just because I feel like if you comment, I'd like to, when I remember to say thank you. So thanks to, let's see, where do we start? I'm going through comments. Thank you to Noni, my most faithful commenter. And I have to say, Colleen, I think if it's the Colleen I'm thinking of, has, you know, I feel like I've known her via the podcast for a long time. But Noni, one day you're going to win one of my giveaways, and it's going to make me so happy because she's such a faithful quilting friend. Thanks to Carol and to Betty. Thanks to Ellen and Margaret Kay. To Jane, to Colleen, the winner, ta-da! To Andra, Suze, Patty, Marianne, Judy, Noni again, thank you, Sue, Nancy, Carolyn, Patty, Emily, and Tammy, and Janet. Thank you everyone for taking the time to comment. And Janet, let me just say, I am glad I have given you a reason to want to go to Lowe's. Yeah, she says that mostly she goes when her husband is tool shopping, and it's like when her husband comes along with her to the quilt shop, which I think is just hilarious. I like Lowe's a lot. I don't, you know, it's not like Target where I go in and end up spending a lot of money that I don't have, but I go in and sort of dream about all the house improvements that one day I'm going to get around to doing. It will never happen. I don't spend the money, but I sort of enjoy this sense it gives me of potential and possibility and making things happen in my house. It probably never will happen, but when you're Lowe's, you believe you will make those changes, and it won't be 6 months before you put your house on the market, which is with our last house. We had all this, not work, it was not in need of a lot of work, but it was in need of painting and you know, just some upgrades. And of course we kept deep cleaned it and kept it clean, and it was just so fabulous that, of course, we didn't even want to sell it at that point, although we did decide we needed a slightly bigger house. And I think that's pretty common. It's all of a sudden you do all the work your house needs, and you're like, oh, what a great house. I hope that we will actually get some of the work we need to do done before that time. Although the man just sent me a picture of a house over in this little town next to us. It's called Hillsborough. And it's this house is exactly on the street where I want to live. It's this bungalow. It's smaller than the house I live in now, but not much. But still a nice size house, and it looks beautiful. And I'm like, can we just move there now? No. Anyway, okay. You know what? I think this has been a very long introduction, but I did want to give props to everyone who has taken the time to comment. Thank you, everyone who's commented in your head. It's always nice to hear from you, too. And now, on with the Quilt Diaries. Quilt Diary Day 1. It is Sunday, November 5th, 2017. I actually just posted the last episode, episode 217. But I'm coming back to tell you, A, that I was able to baste Sweep Exit on the design wall. Hooray! It was pretty easy to do. I have on the new design wall, I have a couple pieces of flannel. Can you see that? The sound effect? This is audio, yes. That are not as firmly secured as they should be. And so as a result, I pinned into them. But that just happened in a couple places. And otherwise, it was really easy to do. It's so much nicer than taping the back of the quilt onto my floor and doing all the stuff that I do. But here's the funny thing is I'm pinning it. And I'm going, you know, I thought I had a ton of these curved pins, but I only seemed to have like 20 or so. And so I went, so I used those, then went back to my bigger safety pins that are not curved. And I mean, they were fine. And then I was just reaching in my somewhat cluttered, very cluttered, it's a drop leaf table. It's not, I could call it my sewing table. I don't sew on it. I used to, but I don't anymore. I just have all my stuff on it. Anyway, so I was getting a new machine needle before I start quilting. And I found, of course, the big thing. It looks like about, 60, 70 curved pins. So, oh well, it does mean I'm going to go back and I started running out of the big pins too. And because I'm trying to do a really good job basting per Jackie Gehring's instructions. Her whole thing is, the basting of the quilt is really perhaps the most important part of the quilting process. If you do a good job, it makes quilting so much easier. So I think I will go pin a few more pins in there. But I was very happy to be able to do this on the design wall. And so I think I just told you two stories in one. Those are the reasons why I wanted to tell you. And I know, I'm sure that you won't find the curved pin story all that fascinating, but you might connect to it for your own reasons. So I thought I would share. And now I'm going to get on with, that's right, Quilting This Quilt. Talk again soon. Quilt Diary Day 2. It is Tuesday. I think it's November 14th. I know for sure it's 2017, although it won't be for long, right? This year has just zipped by. I am sitting inside because it is too cold to sit on the porch. We have finally gotten into serious November weather here. Now, here in central North Carolina, that really means like 45, 50 degrees, which is not that cold. In fact, it's quite pleasant, and we have lots of colorful leaves on the trees, so I am happy. I am happy to be home. I had a good trip to D.C. I think the speech went well. I didn't feel like I made an overwhelming connection with the audience. And as someone who does a lot of public speaking, that's the best when you do a good job and the audience is really responsive and you get a lot of energy and it feels in a way like a conversation, only you're the one doing most of the talking. And in this case, I felt like I did a good job, but I wasn't getting that energy from the audience, which is a little disappointing, but that's okay. That happens. And, the man told me that he thought I did a really good job. And the man, for all his virtues, cannot lie in situations where you might want him to lie. Like, say if I'd done a really terrible job, he would have said, no, that it was good. It was, maybe it's not the best I've seen you do. And you saw, you kind of got scrambled there. And he would say that. I mean, at the same time, trying to go, oh, no, but it was good. It was good. I don't mean to say it wasn't good, right? I mean, he can't just flat out lie and say, that was fantastic. So the fact that he thought it was really good means that it was probably, at least okay. So that's fine. I am happy to be home. Although, there's one thing I do want to tell you about my D.C. trip. It was really fun, and for me, the funnest part is I met Robin, who is a podcast listener from way back, and it was great, because, and this is such a funny thing, but I knew she was coming, and I had looked her up on Facebook, we're Facebook friends, clearly. So looked her up just to, ID her. And sure enough, when she came in, I saw her. And, and we hugged. And it felt like, okay, that's nice. I have a friend here. Even though we've never met. But I just kind of felt like, I have a friend. This is good. And we went out to lunch afterwards and had the nicest time. I was kind of exhausted. So, so I'm not sure I was the world's greatest conversationalist. But she was. And she is a long armor. And we talked about that. And we talked about She just told great stories because she has a lot of clientele who are, you know, come back again and again. And so people she's known for years. And of course, so many quilts carry stories with them. And these people tell Robin the story of the quilt, who they've made the quilt for, why they've made it. And there are just some great stories. And one of them, and I hope Robin doesn't mind me sharing this, but it was just so moving. One of her clients is a longtime quilter. Apparently, according to Robin, has always done these amazing, beautiful improv quilts. And now she's in early stages of dementia. And she has a sister who is also a quilter, who is really encouraging this woman to keep quilting. That this is, you know, just something that she loves. It's something that gives her meaning, even as she's beginning to falter in other ways. And, you know, and I mean, it's so heartbreaking, but beautiful too. So anyway, I may need to learn more about long arming just so I could like write a short story about a long armor and steal more of Robin's stories and make them my own. But that was so much fun. So Robin, if you're listening, thank you so much for being my friend in DC. I have to tell you, I'm so happy to be home. I am really a homebody in so many ways. And, you know, I don't keep the cleanest house or the neatest house, but I like to think I kind of keep a cozy house. And, you know, and it's just, I like being home. I like having my peeps around, my quilt dog, Travis, who's just sitting here napping against my leg. He's such a sweet boy. And, you know, the man, I like having the man around. So it's good to be back. And I, you know, when I go away, and particularly that was, you know, when I go away and I go by myself, which I don't love doing, but is often necessary. And two, with a big thing like that, you know, it's kind of exhausting. And, you know, I want to be sure when I come back home that I appreciate being here. And sometimes you have a big thing and getting ready for it, I'm going, oh, I'm just looking forward to this being over, which I don't love doing because I don't want to wish away time. But then I get done and I kind of forget to appreciate being back home. But right now I do. And I think it has something to do with Thanksgiving coming up. And I have just put a bunch of Christmas books on hold at the library. And they're starting to come in because, you know, I don't really like Christmas. I like it in theory. And I love Christmassy feelings. And I like Christmas, the religious observance. I love Advent. I think it's a beautiful time of year and a meditative time of year if you can get away from all the noise and mess and stress of, you know, getting ready for Christmas, you know. And I know some people are hearing this and going, what are you talking about? Christmas is the best. And I'm happy for you. I really am. If that is how it feels to you. It just, in some ways, doesn't feel that way to me. I love the days after Christmas when I can read my new books. But I just decided, you know, I do kind of get more Christmassy feeling around Thanksgiving. And I thought, I'm going to just get some books and maybe I'll do some Christmas cards and just have a really nice Christmas next weekend. And then accept the reality of real Christmas, which, you know, is just really a whole lot of work. So anyway, I am at work quilting Sweep Exit, and I don't know if I'm going to have it done in time to submit to QuiltCon. I would like to. I don't care all that much. I mean, I like the quilt a lot, and if it's done, I will absolutely submit it. It's not that, but I just don't feel an overwhelming need to submit a ton of quilts. I have two, Sit-In and Wing, that I will submit. I would love to have this ready for a third, but that would be it. I've started quilting it. I'm just doing straight line quilting. Love the straight line quilting. I really do. And I'm happy with some of the quilting I've done. I decided to try something out and it didn't work. Surprise. We all know there will always be unquilting involved with my quilts, just because that's how I work. I need to watch. Crystal Watson has a new webinar up on the Modern Quilt Guild site. If you're a member, you can access that. And I want to watch that because I think it's partly about deciding how to quilt a quilt. And Krista's a great teacher, and I just want to learn from her. But until I do, until someone can take me in hand and say, please do it this way, I'm going to keep doing it my stupid old way where I just try ideas out, which is just kind of how I work. And one idea I thought of and tried out, and it didn't work, was on the big white ray of this quilt. I thought, you know, what if I quilted that using red thread? Would that be cool? And then I thought, what if I do a little cross-hatching with gray thread? Would that be cool? And on the one hand, it was cool. It does look cool. The problem is that it deadens the white. It grays up the white. And that needs to be a really bright white ray. I mean, it's part of what makes the quilt interesting. And so it didn't work. Really, I just need to do straight line quilting, very simple quilting with white thread on those two rays in the quilt. I haven't unquilted. Well, I did a little unquilting, but I haven't totally unquilted just because, you know, I can leave it in there and it can serve, the quilting that's there can serve as a basting until I come back to it. But I didn't work very much last week on Sweep Exit, which means I'm not that far along. But because it's, you know, straight line quilting, once I figure out what I'm doing, it won't take that long to do. But it will it be done by the 30th? Do not know. We'll see. Fingers crossed. I'm also doing some knitting. I'm knitting Hogwarts scarves for my writing workshop girls. I've got two Hufflepuffs, a Gryffindor, and one Slytherin. I don't believe the Slytherin girl. She's a very bright ninth grader, brilliant writer, and a contrarian. And going through a not atypical kind of dark 14-year-old space, you know. I think, man, starting high school, that's an adjustment, I'll tell you what. So anyway, so I think she just likes thinking of herself as a Slytherin. I personally think they're all Ravenclaw. I am Ravenclaw, in case you're wondering. So I finished the Gryffindor. Very fun. Looking forward to Slytherin, this green and silver scarf. The Hufflepuff, you know, one of the Hufflepuff colors is yellow. It's supposed to be canary yellow. I'm like, ha, I am not doing two scarves worth of canary yellow. I do not think so. I'm going to do black and gold. And the fact is, you can go online and some of the Hufflepuff images really are black and gold and not black and canary yellow. I cannot know. I just really couldn't. I would be so, so miserable. I'm like, sorry, girls, I love you, but not that much. So it is fun this time of year to knit. So I'm really enjoying that. What else to tell you? Oh, I got a good book. I did it through Interlibrary Loan. It's Karen McTavish. Am I saying that right? I believe I am. Who is an award-winning quilter. She has a book about quilting for shows, and it really is about entering quilts into quilt shows, and mostly it's quilting designs, and mostly they're quilting designs that, they're beautiful, they're really well done, but they're not how I'm going to quilt my quilts. But I was interested for the tips, not only for preparing quilts for shows, which, you know, I don't know what I would do beyond QuiltCon. Well, I might submit to other shows. I don't know that I will one day. Maybe when I become a better quilter, I will. But I thought it was very helpful just to look at the tips and the hints. She included a long list of comments she's gotten back from judges, both good and bad. And there's like a really good section on bearing threads. There's a good section on blocking. So it was a very useful book. It's expensive online. I think the cheapest you can get it, it's out of print, and the cheapest you can get it used is like $20. It's not a particularly thick book. So if you're interested in it, I actually would suggest doing an interlibrary loan if your library does not have it. And taking a look, because I felt like I learned things from it that were quite handy. Well, I need to get back to work. It's 1:21. I've had my lunch. I've done a little cleanup, packed a box for Jack. I always do this though, because he's going to be back like on Tuesday. And for some reason, oh, because I'm a wonderful mother, that's what it is. I thought I need to send him a care package and made some cookies, but didn't actually finish them up till yesterday. Now it's Tuesday. I'm going to mail them today, and hopefully they'll get to him by Thursday. But it's just 2 hours away. It should, although I'm not going to pay a ton of money to get them there by Thursday, but fingers crossed they'll get there by Thursday. But yeah, I'm just like, and then I think, well, he's why don't why should have done this last week or the week before, not just a few days before he's coming home. I am looking forward to him coming home. I think that's going to be nice to have the family together, have a nice Thanksgiving, celebrate Christmas, and then enter into December. Although it's early Thanksgiving, we'll have another week before December, and well, the absolute hell of Christmas begins. All right, I think that is it for now. I'm going to try to post this weekend, Friday at the earliest, I would think, and hopefully I will have a little bit more to say before I get there. Oh, there was one thing. I got a comment from Tammy asking how on the design wall, how I attach the flannel to the foam board. And I used a big stapler. I can never think of what these are called. I want to say a power stapler, but I really mean to say a staple gun. A very scary kind of stapler, but man, it does the trick. So, yes. All right. I will talk to you soon. See you then. P.S. To quote Diary Day 2, I can't believe I forgot to bring this up. I listened yesterday to part of the Crafty Planner's latest episode. This is an interview with Mark Lipinski. And if you've been listening to me for a while, or if you listened to me actually probably back in the day when I first was starting out, I was a huge Mark Lipinski fan. I loved Quilter's Home. Loved him. Don't hate him now. Haven't had strong feelings about him other than wishing him to get well because he's had a lot of health problems. But he's kind of quieted down a bit because of these health problems. So I haven't heard much from him. Occasionally see something on Facebook. Well, Sandy is doing a series on slow stitching. That's Sandy over at Crafty Planner. And I was so excited to see yesterday that she had posted an interview with Mark Lipinski, my old friend. So I listened to it, and I have to say, I was not entirely thrilled with him. And there were a number of things. He was sort of dismissive of today's quilt designers, saying that kind of all they do is move around blocks in EQ7 and color them in. And while back in the day when he was way into quilt designing, they had to do the math themselves and draw it out on paper. And, though he didn't say this, he implied that what they were doing was clearly superior to what designers are doing today. So I just didn't think that was really very nice. And I can't say it's true or not. I see plenty of quilt patterns that I like. I see plenty that I'm about, but I'm assuming that would always be true. Then he went on about today's magazines and just talked about Quilter's Home and why he did it and why he stopped doing it, a lot of which I think had to do with his health. And and then it was taken over for a little while and then it folded. And he talked about how these other magazines that were pale imitations of Quilter's Home came afterward, but they clearly were just trying to imitate what he had done and were, he implied, quite unsuccessful. And I'm assuming he's talking about magazines like Quilty and Generation Q, which, and I think those editors for Generation Q were the ones who maybe took over Quilter's Home. Not sure about that, but I think it's true. Anyway, I thought that was unlovely and also just kind of conceited. I mean, don't get me wrong, I loved Quilter's Home. And it was without a doubt the funnest quilt magazine we've had. But still, that whole like, yeah, back when I was really into this stuff, I was pretty amazing, and the people who follow me are not. I don't like that attitude or not at all. I think it's just not very nice. But then he talked about modern quilting, which you completely dismiss. He's like, I don't even get what that's all about. And modern quilters are just copying quilts from the 1950s and the 1960s. And I thought, dude, if you're going to criticize modern quilting, and there are certainly things you can be critical about, there are things I'm critical about, at least know what you're talking about. And I have to tell you that part of the thing is I'm a little irritated because I just feel like, there are people who, have these, these positions to speak from. Right? People will listen to Mark Lipinski, and there's some other people who talk about modern quilting, although more favorably, who I also don't think have a really good sense of the history of quilting or the modern quilt movement, what it's really about. And because I spent a lot of time thinking about this, I feel like at least I have a more educated opinion. But one thing I know, and anybody with half a brain who is interested in quilts and modern quilting knows is nobody, no quilt movement came out of the quilts of the 1950s and 1960s. There's a reason why, the book about quilts from the 1950s and 60s is called Under the Radar, right? Because there were still people making quilts, no doubt about it, but most of the country had moved on after the big quilt, craze of the 1920s and 1930s, starting in the 40s and into the 50s and through much of the 60s, quilts were on the down low. And then, then in the sort of as the feminist movement grew in the 1960s, there was a return to an interest in traditional craft, and particularly crafts practiced by women. And so there was a renewed interest in quilts, and then in 1971 we had the big show at the Whitney, and I'm going to tell you what it was called because I've got the book here someplace. Maybe I won't. Oh, Abstract Design and American Quilts. Had a lot of Amish quilts hung on the wall. Very exciting. Spawned this quilt revival. Essentially kicked off what's been what almost 45, 50 years of nonstop quilting, more or less. A lot of changes in quilt making since that time. But yes. But before that time, there was this dearth of quilting or a lack of interest by the general public. We had moved on. So I have to tell you that I did this whole rant and I paused in the middle right before that Whitney thing. So now I'm trying to get back into my rant mode. And I think I was just saying that, yes, so this idea that modern quilting came out of is just a pale imitation, can't be as good as those quilts in the 19 so-called quilts in the 1950s, 1960s, because everything, I suppose, I guess, is just a pale imitation of what came before. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's not based in fact or history or thought. It's not a thoughtful response to what modern quilting is. And modern quilting, by the way, it is a big deal. Whether you love it, hate it, or are indifferent to it, it is bringing new quilters into the fold. And I think anyone who's got a real interest in quilting should be happy about that. And I know I am. I know it was really encouraging to look at the latest survey results from Quilts Incorporated. I think they do the survey every other year. The number of quilters overall has gone down. Right. There was a period of time not too long ago, it was like 20 million of active quilters. So these are quilters who are making quilts at least once a year. Now it's down to 10 million. And we know that's because a lot of our sister quilters have gone up to the great quilt frame in the sky. Right. We've got some aging out going. But some of them are being replaced by quilters under 40. There's been an increase in the number of quilters under 40. They don't spend as much money because they don't have it. They don't spend as much time because they don't have it, but they're making quilts. And we know a lot of those quilters came in through the modern quilt movement. So I don't know. I just the idea that you could be that dismissive a really important movement in this country. Whatever you think of the Modern Quilt Guild, and I know some people don't like it. I do. Some people have issues with it. I don't particularly. But yeah, it's just to be that dismissive is to be old. And, you know, so I fear my old friend Mark Lipinski, who I've never met, by the way, we're not friends, less so now even, has gotten old. Again, if you've got a platform, don't say something if you don't know what it is you're talking about. Don't talk out of your butt. That would be my advice to all of us, including myself. But in this case, I'm not, because I actually understand something about the history of quilting and the roots of the modern quilt movement. And it just, yeah. So Sandy did a great interview. This is not about, you know, I'm a big fan of Sandy and Crafty Planner. I think she does a good job. She did a good job with Mark. But yeah, so it was disappointing to me because I've always been such a big fan of his. And I just thought he was, as I said, unlovely and ungenerous. And there's no room for that. Not in my little corner of the world. So there. And now I've got to go back and do some stuff. All right, talk to you later. Bye. Quilt Diary day three. I don't know where we are. It's the last day. It's Monday. I was supposed to post this Friday or this weekend at the latest, and I don't really know what happened. I can't claim, wow, I was so busy. I have been quilting diligently away on sweep exit. I don't know how far along I am. I have quilted the center square, the square medallion. Can medallions be square? Or is there something about the inherent definition of medallion that it's a round thing? I don't know. Anyway, so the center is quilted, and that took a little bit of time because I did lines in various directions on angles and up and down and side to side. And I also have been more or less burying threads as I've gone along, not every thread as it needs to be buried, but like finishing a section, go around and bury threads, just because it makes it easier to look at the quilting that you've done. There are no visual distractions. And so that, you know, that's made the quilting process take a little longer, although not really. It just means when I'm done quilting, I will be close to having all the threads buried, and that can take a long time. But I might be halfway through, and what I have left are pretty big sections, and I am doing straight line quilting. Now, some of those sections I will divide into smaller sections. I really like how it's turning out. I'm having fun. And what I feel like I'm doing is improv machine quilting. So just taking it one section at a time and playing off the section that came before it. So it's not all disconnected quilting, but I think that in some ways is the nature of improv, right? Is that you don't have a plan, but you are creating something that you want to ultimately be of a piece, and have the elements echo each other and repeat each other and mirror each other, all those kind of words that suggest a kind of rhyming that's going on and a kind of rhythm that has been established that you stick to in one way or another. So it's a lot of fun. I think too, for me, with the straight line quilting, which I'm just so in love with right now, and I'm not saying I will never do any other kind of quilting, but I do like how it looks, and I do like, for me, how it allows me to quilt competently. You know, it just does. And that's a good feeling, girls. That's a good feeling to feel competent in what you're doing and feel like, yeah, that it's just not a crapshoot. Which is sometimes how I feel about machine quilting. So I am enjoying the process very much. Still don't know, will we have it done by the 30th and time to enter into QuiltCon? Might. I think the odds are good that we will. The other project, I think I mentioned that I am doing Harry Potter scarves for my writing group girls. Two Hufflepuffs, a Gryffindor, and a Slytherin have finished the Gryffindor, and now I'm working at a Hufflepuff, and I actually took the scarf with me to our writing group meeting on Saturday because there are times where the girls are writing and which I'm not. And I thought, well, it would be nice to kind of work on the scarf. And it's Hufflepuff, so it's gold and black. And so I just said I was making a Wake Forest scarf for a friend. And it was so funny because the girls immediately, they looked at it and they said, oh, Hufflepuff, which made me feel good because it means that it's the color is fine. The gold instead of a canary yellow or a brighter yellow is working fine. They identified it as Hufflepuff right away. But then Ellie, who's one of my Hufflepuff girls, said, oh, you know, I think I'm getting a Hufflepuff scarf for my birthday, which is next week. And so I emailed her mom and said, you know, I'm in the process of knitting Hufflepuff scarves and for Ellie and for Madeline, my other Hufflepuff girl. And Ellie's mom said, I am halfway through knitting a scarf for Ellie. And she said, do you do hats? And so I'm going to make Ellie a Hufflepuff hat. And this scarf I'm working on, it's my first Hufflepuff, and I was going to make two. So that's still fine. But I want to make myself a hat, too. I have a big head. And the hats we have around the house, the knit caps, are a little bit tight. And they also, because they're a little bit small, like when I take Travis out for a walk in the morning, I put on my hat. And by the time I get home, the hats always kind of creep up. So they're kind of like, there's about 3 inches of air in them at the top, if you know what I mean. It's like they can't really stay down over my head. So one, my head gets cold, but also I look like an idiot. So I think I need to knit myself a bigger and somewhat more, I don't know if the word would be forgiving or adhesive or something, but I need to get some better hat action going. And I've been thinking this now for several years, so I think it's time. And it's nice to be in a bit of a knitting mood. But back to quilting, because while I'm knitting, I'm watching TV, and I've been watching Alias Grace, which is on Netflix right now. And it's quite good. It's very compelling. I remember I read the book when it came out. There was a period in the 80s and 90s where I was just a huge Margaret Atwood fan. And it's not that I'm not a huge fan now. I think at some point she started writing more science fiction, dystopian. She wrote Handmaid's Tale. That is dystopian fiction. But she kind of got into more science fiction. Here's what happens when the world ends because of environmental disaster fiction. And that I'm less interested in. So I kind of, you know, sometimes you can have an author who you're passionate about. And at some point, it's almost like you get your fill. You love the books. And I hate to say that because I am an author who wants everyone to read and love all of my books. But I also understand how people kind of, you know, because I do it myself. And so, I loved Cat's Eye by Margaret Atwood. Absolutely one of my favorite books. I think Handmaid's Tale is the first book I read, which I think I was still in college when that came out. And then Cat's Eye, I read in grad school, one of my favorite books, period. And certainly I think my favorite Margaret Atwood book. But the main got me, Alias Grace, we were dating. It's before we got married. I remember when it came out. And the great thing is it has wonderful quilts in it. And she, in fact, there are many scenes where Grace, as she is talking to a doctor, hand-piecing quilts. But the quilts you actually see are really pretty, and it makes me want to do traditional quilts and solids. And, you know, like there's some really pretty ones that are like with pinks and grays and blacks, I think are just wonderful. So, you know, if you're looking for something to watch on Netflix and want to see some beautiful quilts, I recommend Alias Grace. Oh, did I mention before? I don't think I did because I can never say the title correctly. I'm reading a wonderful knitting novel, and I'm going to tell you what it is in hopes I did not mention it earlier. I'm sitting on the couch in the man's study, and it's actually the man and the boy's study. It's a largest, well, yeah, I mean, it's not as big as the living room, but it's a not small room at the front of the house that I think in the house's original design was supposed to be part of the garage. I don't know if that's absolutely true, because also, no, that doesn't make sense, because we have a garage. It's a two-door detached garage, which I really like and want to paint purple. No one else wants to do that. But anyway, whatever this room is, it's a nice size, but it's got like two computers. This is where the boys study. We call it the man study. And he now, especially now that Jack is gone, he's kind of taken over Jack's desk and does a lot of work there. So it's got enough room for a couple people to be hanging out pretty comfortably together without bugging each other. Anyway, so I'm sitting here on the couch, which is, I think, our most comfortable couch, and Travis is curled up and like has his nose on my leg and is snoring lightly, and is just it's hard for me to imagine disrupting him at this kind of angle of cuteness that we've got going on right now. So I can tell you that the author of this book, her name is Gill McNeil. It's like the Beach Street Yarn Shop and Knitting Club, something like that. I will put it on the show notes. And it's British, which of course makes it wonderful for all us Anglophiles. And it's a very enjoyable, light read that has really good characters. And the main character, whose name is Joe, has just moved from London to the small seaside town, has taken over her grandmother's yarn shop, although they would call it a wool shop. And and the book has zero plot. Things happen, and someone is pregnant, and then later she has a baby, not Joe, not the main character, and so that kind of but it's that kind of plot. Oh, so and so is pregnant. Oh, now she's had her baby, which is not really a plot point in any way. So it's almost like, I mean, I don't know what, I don't care that it doesn't have a plot. But I mean, there are scenes in which things happen, and the main character, her mother, who's very difficult in a funny way. It's a low stress book, a pretty low conflict book, which hence no plot. But lives in Venice. So the narrator Joe and her two sons go to Venice, where her brother and his wife also visit. And they walk around, and but it's just funny scenes. I know I'm not selling this book well at all. You have to believe me, it's funny. And Jo is a very likable narrator, and she does a really great job. It feels re very realistic, but funny, which I like, because sometimes funny novels, they're satire, and they're just the characters don't quite seem real, and these characters in this book do seem real, and that there's only one villain, and it's the PTA president, and she's not really a villain. She's just irritating in the way sometimes the women who kind of don't have enough to do with their immense talents and intelligences can become very big fish in very small ponds. You probably know what I'm talking about. Anyway, I'll put a link in the show notes, but it's fun, and it's the kind of book, it is a comfort read. It's taken me a long time to read it, in part because I have been staying up late to work, either to knit or to quilt. And so by the time I go to bed, I really only have like 15 minutes in me. But it's kind of great because there's no plot to keep up with. So you're just kind of following along and enjoying the ride. And so it's sort of it's a different book than Birds in the Air. Birds in the Air is not exactly the most tightly plotted book in the world, but it does have a plot, and it is building toward a big event, and et cetera, et cetera. And this book, to the best of my knowledge, is not building to a big event. I think there's a sequel. The author has written now a number of books. It's also, I'm not a very active knitter. Obviously, right now I'm knitting scarves. I may try to knit some socks here before too long. But I think she writes very well about knitting, and in a way that feels like you sense she probably, obviously she's got to be a knitter, because why would you write this novel if you weren't a knitter? But you sense that she knows a lot about knitting and a lot about yarn or wool. And but so while Birds in There has a plot, but at the same time, I just wanted to write a book in which I thought would be kind of a good cozy read. But my problem, as I stated many times, is with cozy reads, oftentimes they're really unrealistic, and the characters aren't real, and they don't say things that real people say, and I hate that. And in this Beach Street Yarn Knitting Club book, the characters do say things that people say, and they're fun. I mean, they're probably a little funnier. And of course, we've got one character who's a celebrity, two celebrity characters, one who's a news reporter and the other a TV news reporter and the other who's a movie star. But even the way those are handled, it's kind of fun. And so it makes it more of a dishy read, but it doesn't feel, you know, stupid or like Jacqueline and Suzanne or anything. Anyway, I'm having a lot of fun with that book, and I will put it up on the show notes. So just that's a little bit of my cultural life right now, other than rewatching My So-Called Life, which is a show that I love. I have to say, I was 30 when it first aired, and it's, of course, a show about high school, but it doesn't matter. It's so wonderful, and Freaks and Geeks is another high school show that I really love, and Freaks and Geeks was a lot like my high school life, although I had a varied high school life because I went to three high schools because we moved so much. But My So-Called Life emotionally is just so spot on. If you've never watched it, I have watched the series many times. I've watched Freaks and Geeks many times too. So anyway, that's been a good show to quilt by. And I just had a thought, you know, I always mean to keep a quilting journal. I've done it very unsuccessful. I feel like last year I did a little bit on some quilt or another, maybe on sit-in, maybe, I don't know, but that would be the thing that would be fun. And I don't have that. I've never gotten that quilting planner that's so popular, but to have a quilt diary in which you record what you're watching on Netflix as you're working on the quilt. And it would be funny to look at different quilts and say, oh yeah, that's when I was, you know, when I watched The Office, you know, which would be actually a lot of sit-in. I had never watched The Office past the first episode because it made me cringe too much. But finally, Will and Jack and the man got me started on it this summer at the beach. And now I've watched the whole thing. And really, really like it, although there are some very cringy moments. The man had me watch an episode from Curb Your Enthusiasm that's back on HBO, which I watched back in the day. And I watched one episode and remembered why I just can't deal with Curb Your Enthusiasm. I can't cringe that much. And also, at least with The Office, there's some really cringy stuff. But I find the characters, I have a lot of affection for the characters. And in Curb Your Enthusiasm, I pretty much hate everyone. So anyway, that's my cultural affairs report for Monday, November 20th, 2017. And I am going to finish up here and say for those of you observing Thanksgiving, that would be those of us in the States here, happy Thanksgiving. I hope it's a wonderful, relaxing time and that you get some quilting done, which sometimes can't happen because you may be way far away from your home and machine. But if you're home, I hope you have that bit of bandwidth to really enjoy yourself and watch some wonderful TV or listen to some great music and do some quilts. And I should be back in a couple weeks, plus or minus a few days. My guess is plus a few days. And I hope to have lots of amazing quilting news to report to you at that time. Until then, happy quilting. Thanks for listening to the Off Kilter Quilt. Come visit me online at offkilterquilt.com. Until next time, this is Frances. Remember, life is short. Quilt first.